It's Sunday morning. Time for the great outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. I thank you very much for listening this morning. We've got a wonderful show ahead. It's Dr. Stan Garrett of Ohio State University and Director of Research for the Max McGraw Wildlife Foundation is my guest this morning. And Stan is, he's been on the air several times before. He is the leading researcher in the world when it comes to coyotes, animal diseases, cats, raccoons, and his population dynamic work has been taking place around Illinois and much of the country for a long time. And I want to touch base with Stan this morning, as we do typically this time of the year, as we transition from summer into fall and we begin to see all kinds of animals that live outdoors begin to change their behavior. And also Stan continues to do a lot of work on coyotes and urban coyotes. It runs the only study of its kind in the world, I believe, studying coyotes. And Chicago is the leader in understanding the dynamics of coyotes and their interrelations with people. So, Stan, with that introduction, thanks for coming back. I know you're fresh off an airplane from France where you made a presentation, which I hope that you'll share with us. But thanks for joining us this morning, Stan.
You bet. It's my pleasure.
So let's start off with what took you across the pond to go to Paris to talk about coyotes in Europe?
Well, what brought me over there was the Congress for the International Union of Game Biologists. This is a big international conference that brings biologists together from many different countries, but primarily from both Western and Eastern European countries. And, of course, their focus is on game animals, and in some cases it's more management-oriented, and in other cases it's more conflict-oriented. And so they asked me to come give a presentation on the current state of large carnivores, that would be the meat eaters of the mammalian world, in cities, because they're beginning to have a strong interest in game management in urban areas. And so that was what I talked about. So I started off by actually giving a quick review of the current trend, which is amazing around the world, which is the large carnivores are making a presence in many different large cities in different continents. And then I eventually brought them around to Chicago, because our Chicago coyote work is really the leading edge of carnivore work with carnivores living among people.
So to bring it back, you said large carnivores are recovering around the world. A lot of what you would read would indicate otherwise. Can you just sort of explain that for a second? I know certainly coyotes are exploding, but what's taking place on a worldwide basis?
Well, some large carnivores are recovering and increasing in number. Others aren't. So, for example, in the North American hemisphere, both our mountain lions, the brown and black bears, and moles have all shown tremendous increases in numbers as a response to, you know, conservation efforts and protection from hunting. But in Europe, you have brown bears, lynx, and wolves that are also showing the same trend. So there's more individuals of each of those species now than there have been in the last 100 years. And that's a very populated continent, and so it's increasing the number of contacts between animals and people. But even in some of the other areas, such as India, where some of the carnivores are not necessarily increasing, it's the urban development that's kind of enveloping many of these carnivores. So you have things such as leopards that are now becoming urban leopards, and they're very common in some of the cities, all the way into the urban core. You have hyenas in Africa, spotted hyenas, that are now found in the urban core of Addis Ababa in Ethiopia, or Harar, Ethiopia. And so over in Australia, dingoes which would be the equivalent of our coyotes, are now considered an urban species. So it's occurring around the world. In some cases, because the carnivores are increasing in number. In other cases, it's because the cities have increased and kind of encroached in some of the remaining conservation areas.
So is it because, first of all, how would people live amidst leopards? How does that work?
How would they live among the leopards?
Yes.
I know. Well, everyone's kind of scratching their head about that. So there's current research going on right now, and it's actually trying to answer that question in a more, official or quantitative way. But the way it looks right now is that the leopards are, like every other urban, animal, they've become highly nocturnal. And so they go out into the neighborhoods at night, and the residents now realize that there's leopards living among them, and so they reduce the resident humans, and so they reduce their activities at night. But there have been conflicts, and there have been fatalities associated with it.
Well, at least we don't stand in the Chicago area to deal with leopards. But do you want to tell visiting with Dr. Stan Garrett of Ohio State University and the Max McGraw Wildlife Foundation this morning, and Dr. Garrett is the leader in the world on urban wildlife and mammalians and diseases, and we're fortunate, Stan, to have you working in the Chicago area. Can I ask you just for an update on where things stand with coyotes in the Chicago area and other metropolitan cities in the U.S.? You've recently been on National Geographic talking and filming a coyote crossing the street. They seem to be able to tell green lights from red lights, and it's rather remarkable. So given that many of our listeners frequent Chicago or live in the Chicago area, what's your take on what's happening here?
Well, the current state is that the coyote population continues to thrive. We think that it may actually, for the first time in recent years, may be plateauing in terms of its population growth, but it's hard to know for sure until we get maybe a couple more years. But we're starting to see the litter sizes of the coyotes begin to come back down to a more typical size. So the number of pups that they produce, it was really large, and now it's starting to show the fact that they're occupying so many parts of the Chicago landscape that the females are reducing their litter sizes. So that's what we seem to be observing right now. But they're at high levels regardless. And so the question right now that we're actually involved in is, as we have these successive generations of coyotes that are born and raised near people, is there any kind of shift in their behavior in which they may have started off being fearful of people, which is a good thing, but they may become more accustomed to people, or they may become more habituated, which may make them more more conflict oriented. So that's kind of what we're looking toward right now. We continue to monitor them for certain diseases that they may be able to transmit to people. And so far it's been fairly low, but that could change with their population numbers so high. And then lastly, the thing that we're really focused on at the moment is, it's kind of cutting edge, and that is we're looking at personalities among these coyotes. It's basically a derivation from domestic dog research, in which dog researchers have been able to identify genetic makeup of different personality types within breeds. And so we're using the same techniques that the dog researchers have used for coyotes to determine whether or not coyotes, again, as they increase their generations living among people, are there certain personality types that are beginning to emerge more frequently than others?
So in other words, aggressive, passive, those kinds of things.
Yes, exactly. Aggressive coyotes versus shy coyotes. And also, if we can identify those genetic markers, that may help us identify individuals that may be prone toward aggressiveness or, risk to people.
Well, let's do this, Stan. Let's take a quick break. When I come back, I think I'd love to hear more of your thoughts about, I guess, the personality of coyotes, and also As we move now into fall, I know the behavior, the pups have been whelped and raised. What are some of the kind of conflicts that you often see taking place? And then, frankly, where you think all this is going? You work with coyotes and cats and raccoons, which is central to our lives as we continue to expand into rural areas. And on the other hand, the one thing maybe, Stan, we all forget about is animals adapt, birds adapt, and a generation for a coyote might be a couple of years. So there's a lot of evolution going on. So will you bear with us while we take a quick break?
Yep.
We are visiting with Dr. Stan Garrett of Ohio State University and the Max McGraw Wildlife Foundation. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN, and first a message from your Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Charlie Potter, your host on WGN Radio, and visiting with Dr. Stan Garrett, Ohio State University and the Max McGraw Wildlife Foundation this morning, talking about predators and how they live amongst us and what's happening in the evolution of coyotes and raccoons. And Dr. Garrett was talking at the beginning of the show how he just came back from a conference in France where they were talking about other continents and big game and animals. And Stan, you have been doing this work for over 20 years in the Chicago area and with urban coyotes and also with raccoons. Where do you think ultimately the conflicts lead? Are coyotes, as they adapt, and we said just before the break, we forget how quickly animals evolve generationally. How have you seen their behavior change since you started, and do you have any projections as to what we might continue to see evolve?
So what's been interesting as we've watched this progress, because the listeners may or may not be aware that, you know, coyotes were not common in the Chicago area prior to 20 years ago. In fact, they were pretty rare. And you had other species like gray foxes and red foxes, raccoons that were much more common in the area than they are today, and that's largely because of the coyotes and their success. And so this urban coyote phenomenon, also it's not restricted to Chicago. Basically, what we have found is that every single major metropolitan area across North America has seen increases of coyotes in their areas during the same time period. This is a what we consider to be a really large natural experiment that was initiated by the coyotes, inadvertently. And it's hard to know exactly. What we're observing is what is going to be the outcome from this. We don't know. That's why we've been monitoring their behavior through this time, as they've gone from being rare to Chicago to being common, and now in some areas they're abundant, and you could make the argument that maybe overabundant. As we've watched this progression, we expected to see a change in their behavior, such as becoming again more aggressive or maybe less aggressive if we always remove aggressive animals. But so far, we don't see a change in their average behavior. And we were surprised by that. But what we are focusing on now is it's not the average. It is the individual variation. So it turns out that probably the key to coyote success, not just in cities, but out in the country where, you know, they're hunted and trapped regularly, their success is that not all coyotes do the same thing. And they have incredible individual variation. And that's actually probably the key to their success. And so that's probably what we're focusing on more than anything else right now, is how much individual variation is there. And right now what we're doing is comparing the rural coyotes, the ones in rural Illinois. Again, they're exposed to hunting and trapping on a regular basis, and their variation in behavior and personalities versus those that are in the city where they're not exposed or they're essentially protected from hunting and trapping. And do you see certain different patterns emerging?
So, Stan, in about a minute and a half we have left. If you're walking your dog in Lincoln Park in Chicago, the behavior of a coyote is very different likely than it is if you were walking your dog out in the prairie of Illinois or a cornfield. What are the threats of urban coyotes? Have there ever been any attacks on people? Where is that evolving?
Well, there's always in terms of attacks on people or the risk that coyotes pose, they do pose a risk. So we average somewhere between probably 3 to 5 human attacks by coyotes in the U.S. each year. In Chicago, we've been fortunate in which, in terms of documented cases, there's been little to none. There's only been a couple that were unverified. So it's actually very rare for it to occur and to happen. And that's because the Chicago area is fairly aggressive in terms of removing animals that might pose a risk. There are other cities and other communities where they're very opposed to removing coyotes, even if they're acting aggressively. And in those areas, that's generally where the attacks take place.
Well, Stan, I wish we had more time. It's a fascinating subject. And I think on behalf of all the listeners, we thank you for the work you're doing to help us understand this. And maybe another time you and I can have a conversation about feral cats and raccoons and the dynamics there. But thank you so much for being with us. It's Stan Garrett, who is at Ohio State University and the leading researcher really in the world, Stan, I believe it's fair to say, on these issues of mammalians and their interaction with humans. So thanks for being with us, Stan. And all of you, thank you for listening. I'll be back next Sunday morning with much more on The Great Outdoors. This is Charlie Potter, the host of The Great Outdoors Show on WGN, America's Voice for the Outdoors.